So during this sermon series, we're trying to get everyone to deeper understand why we do what we do on Sunday. We can get in the patterns of coming to Sunday services, going through routines, and not even realizing why we do these deep spiritual acts of worship. Like, why do we do this? Why are we getting our kids up early? Why are we getting our family ready? Why are we rushing to be there on time? Like, why am I doing all this? And so we've talked through many of those things, like, why do we sit under preaching? Why do we sing? Why do we pray? Why do we give? Why do we sit under the reading of Scripture? And today we'll talk about why we fellowship. And this is something that I want us to really look at as a spiritual act of worship, because as Bostonians, in our dream, if you ask us, we create these visions of just us, our family, beautiful home, wonderful backyard, and three people we really like who never bother us. Amen? That's my picture of glory. Just my buddy I've had for 42 years flipping burgers. The one friend I like who is my wife's friend. I'm only kidding. I'm exaggerating from the pulpit right now. But we have this little world we create where we create a fellowship that doesn't go beyond the people we want in our world. But a wonderful, unique thing happens when we're called into the body of Christ, called in the local church and saved by Jesus. God, the Holy Spirit, puts together a church family, and we have many things in common, the most important thing in common, but naturally we might not have common life experiences. We might not have the same likes. We not like the same movies, the same art, the same music. And so we're thrown into this family where we can once again get into that Bostonian mentality. I have those two people I talk to, and I'm moving in. I checked my clock, and I punched in for Sunday. What I hope today happens is a beautiful and pleasing thing to God when we fellowship with one another, when we talk to one another, when we converse, relate, and revel in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's pleasing unto God. They say you need at least three connections to ultimately feel like you have a church home. Three relationships that you feel, okay, I know this person, that person, this person. So if that doesn't happen within a few months, you're looking for another place to find relationships. And so I remember when I went to two churches from the age when I was born till I was 23 years old. Two churches, that's not many. I went to a church in Medford, a smaller church in Medford, till I was about, I want to say around 10 to 12, I can't remember exactly. Then I went to a church in Woburn for the next 11 years of my life. Those were the only two churches I knew my whole life. So when I was 23, I went to a new church in Saugus. There are a few things more intimidating than going to a crowd of people and you know no one except for maybe the person you brought with you. Amen? It is intimidating. So I'm a backseat sitter. And so it was in a middle school. And I sat at the cafeteria table in the back. And I always get there early. So I'm early, alone, in the back, sitting there. And one woman came up to me, and guess who that woman was? Nancy Vecchio, the ultimate greeter, the historic greeter, the hugger of all huggers, the talker of all talkers. And she talked to me, and she took the time, and she listened to me, and we talked. And every service, they had three services, and I might have went to two or three a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, she would walk right up to me, and she would talk to me. And I had one other pastor I knew, so I started building those relationships. That is the biggest thing. What keeps people in churches, what grows churches, what glorifies God is relationships. When you are known and you know. And just the kindness of someone listening, talking, and taking the time is what made me more comfortable and pleased God. And I ultimately find a church home with many, 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 many more relationships. You and I were made for relationships. We were made for relationship with more than five people. We were made for relationship with a group of people, a community. We were made for relationship with the church. And so what I want to encourage everyone today is ask yourself, how am I growing in the spiritual discipline of fellowshipping with people? I know it's intimidating. I know some of us have social anxiety. I understand it's uncomfortable to get to know someone new. Those are very, very hard things. I've struggled with some of those things myself. But I want us to continue to grow as a church that grows in relationship. And so let's turn to Acts 2, 42 through 47. And I will just read that. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers, day by day, those who were being saved. So when you're in your church, you're devoting yourself to fellowship with people who have the most in common. When you think about who you want to hang out with, who you want to talk to, who you want to listen to, who you want to enjoy life with, you think about people you have the most in common with. So if you like the Celtics, you want to be around people who play basketball. If you like sushi, people better know what a Philadelphia Maki roll is, right? Like, we go around communities where we can relate to people with common interests and common life experience. What happens in the church, and please hear this now, is we are relating to people who we have the most important thing in common with. And what is that thing? We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus. That is the most important thing to have in common with anyone. That is the most important thing you can relate to, talk about, celebrate with another person. In the early church, what does it say in the text? They gathered, they had all things in common because they believed. These people, many had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. It had set their hearts on fire. They gathered regularly because they realized that Jesus died an atoning death and he was raised from the grave, defeating death and offering eternal life to anyone who would believe. They had a common goal, common interest, and common fellowship. So let me give you a working definition of fellowship. The definition of fellowship is basically associating, conversing, and living life with those you have something in common with. And when you have something in common with someone, you can talk with them about anything. There's a guy in the gym I go to. I don't know his name. I don't know where he's from. I have no idea. I just know we both like the Celtics. Every time I see this guy, he's busting out pec workouts. We just look at each other and say, what do you think about the draft? We just start talking about the Celtics because we have something to relate to. Once again, I have no idea what this man's name is. I almost asked him a couple days ago, but I said that will mess up the sermon illustration. But what we have in common creates conversation and creates fellowship. Each person in here who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have something to talk about with another person in church. You believe that Jesus died and rose again and that he is the Son of God. You know how that, it's amazing to believe that. A lot of the world doesn't believe that. That's a gift that you have faith. That's a gift that you believe in invisible realities. That's a gift that you believe there's a God who made everything and made you and made things with a purpose. That's a gift. That's something to revel in, something to enjoy, something to talk about. I mean, we all could talk days about God's grace upon our lives. Amen? And so that builds the foundation in church where we can come together and we can fellowship. We'll start here. I want to kind of practically work out what fellowship is. Fellowship is talking to people before and after service. Fellowship is a wonderful thing where you actually stop your life, we put down our phones, and we ask someone, how's your life going? How are you doing? And we greet them with love and say, it's good to see you here today. Greetings are powerful. Greetings are powerful. When someone's happy to see you, when someone's looking forward to seeing you, when someone genuinely cares about having a conversation with you, you are giving that person a gift, and that person is giving you a gift. So that's fellowship before and after service. Now, I know this is tough because I'm the first person in many social situations. I want to beeline it out the door. The pastor's like, have a good week. I'm like, grab everything. Let's get out of here. I want to get out of there. But God calls us to love people, to talk to people, to care about people, to recognize to people, to be happy about seeing people. Secondly, we all fellowship by doing these spiritual acts of worship together. It's a very intimate thing to sing together. That's not a casual thing. It's a very intimate thing to take communion together. Remember the body and blood of Jesus. It's a very intimate thing to pray together. It's a very intimate thing to be quiet right now when we sit under preaching. That's an intimate thing that builds relationship. When we do that, we are fellowshipping. We are answering the call of Scripture to be God's church. And finally, we all have the same goal. Like teams, their goal is to win the championship. Orchestras are getting ready for the performance. Creative drawers are getting ready to show off their art. There's always a goal. We have the most important common goal to make disciples that make disciples to the glory of Jesus and see God restore people through the advancement of the gospel. That is the mission of God. We have the greatest common goal, the greatest thing to relate to. Me and Dave got to sit with someone from this church over the past few weeks, and she was just sharing some of her life experiences, and she shared how in a moment of temptation to sin that she prayed to God, the Holy Spirit, she's a relatively new Christian, and said, God, help me not to fall into this sin. And she said, I didn't. As me and Dave sat there, we were so encouraged to see that the mission was going to be accomplished. Someone who was recently converted was walking in holiness and resisting sin and taking a stand for good. And we felt like, wow, we just rejoiced and reveled, said, wow, we're making a difference. Disciples are being made. People are growing. People are getting to know Jesus. And we celebrated that common goal. As believers, we need to celebrate. Someone's baptized, say, wow, the mission is being accomplished. Someone is cared for, the mission is being accomplished. Someone overcomes evil with good, the mission is accomplished. Someone prayed for that person instead of their car, instead of posted that they hated them on social media, rejoice. The mission is being accomplished. People are becoming more like Jesus. So two things happen. We're just going to focus on two things happen when we fellowship, when we converse, when we relate and revel in the gospel of Jesus Christ. One thing is the church grows. The most important thing for a church to grow, to be added to number, is relationship. Beyond preaching, beyond singing, beyond prayer, beyond that. When people have relationships, when people feel loved, when people feel listened to, the church grows. It says in this text that they were together, they were doing all things in common, like we talked about. They were breaking bread, having communion. They were praying. They were sitting on the apostles' teaching as we do expository preaching. And it said the Lord added to their number. The Lord is so pleased. Think about this. When you take the time to fellowship with other believers, it pleases our Heavenly Father. It pleases Him so much that He says, I can trust this local church with loving more people that need to be cared for. I can send them to this church to be loved. That's an important thing when you're planting a church, that God can trust you to steward people to be cared for. Whether they're broken people, hurt people, lonely people, prideful people, whatever it is, can God trust us that no one's going to feel lonely come to this congregation, but we're going to care and fellowship and talk to them and commit ourselves and devote ourselves to fellowship. I was talking to a local pastor whose church is really growing this week. We got to have lunch, and he said, I asked him, what is the most important thing for growing? And he said, relationship and friendship. Friendship. To care about each other, not just in the good times, not just in when everything's going good on your life. The mark of true friendship is you carry each other's burdens. That's the mark of true friendship. That you go through tough times and you're still loving each other. That they're in need and you give to them. That they're struggling and you're still loving them and you're not giving up on them. That's true friendship. That's what the body of Christ is meant to be. Now, we all, some of us have been following Jesus for years. Some of us have been on a spiritual journey. Guess what I'm going to tell you about your spiritual journey? There's going to be highs and lows. You're not going to be flying high for the next 50. What are you doing? Just devoting myself. That doesn't happen. We go through struggles. We go through doubt. We go through high points of faith. We go and be joyful. We go through duty. We go through all those things in following Jesus. That's part of the road of Christ. But we need to love each other through the ups and through the downs, through the goods and the bads. When we're feeling high, when we're feeling low, we have to love each other because God has made us to care for each other in fellowship. That's the mark of a Christian, of how we love one another. The second thing is when we fellowship, you get to know people. And know what happens when you get to know people? You get to know their life. You get to know their needs. And when they're in trouble, you want to fill that need. Like Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, for this is the law of Christ. There's a temptation in our flesh to distance ourselves from people because then I don't have to worry about their lives. Then I don't have to go through the emotional ups and downs that they're going through. Then I don't have to know them so they won't ask me for anything. We all know how that goes. I got to distance myself because I can't give this person one more thing. We want to distance ourselves from people because we don't want to carry burdens because it's tough to carry burdens. But it's a call of every Christian to fellowship and carry each other's burdens. And when you know people, you know their needs, and because of that empathy, because you know them, you are propelled and compelled to care for them when they are in need. So generosity flourished in the early church and should flourish in our church, and it has in many ways. But as the church fellowships, generosity grows. People care for one another. People carry each other's burdens because we're meeting needs because we know each other. We know our struggles. We know our pains. We know our ups and downs. We know that we are only human and frail and dust, and God knows that. And he's called us to fill each other's void in our life, to be like Jesus to the world and to each other. I get to meet with a man who's a pastor, a great guy. He's older. He's pastored for years, and he just once in a while, we'll go out, have lunch, he'll call and check in. And he's always been very generous to me because I think he knows the path of a pastor and he really cares. So my truck broke down like a year or so ago. I forget, the clutch went. And when the clutch goes in the 2000 Ford Ranger, that's serious business. So the clutch went. And you know what I did? I didn't have the money to fix it. It stayed in my driveway. It stayed in my driveway. Until that man dropped off a check for $1,000 to help fix my clutch. Now, why did he do that? He did that because he was carrying my burden, because he knew me, because he fellowshiped with me, because he reached out and he filled a void because he was part of the greater body of Christ. And I'm telling you right now, one of the most rewarding things you will ever do is be part of a local body of church where you know people and you're able to care for them in their time of need. No one should go hungry in Restoration Row. No one should not have enough food. No one should not be able to pay their utility bill. No one should go without in the body of Christ if there are people who are imitating Jesus and growing in generosity. That's what happens with fellowship. So I want to give you just a few things that can help you grow, because we hear that and naturally the Holy Spirit within our hearts says, yes, that's the way life is supposed to be lived. That's the way life is supposed to be lived. That's the way God made us, to be codependent on each other and to depend on each other, to care for one another, to lean on each other. God made us that way. We're not independent. We're not Clint Eastwood in a Western with a 9 milli. We're just not. America has put that image up, like, what are you, just independent? No, you're frail, just like every other person made in the image of God. We're finite. And so I want to give you a few things. First thing is, you have to be intentional about it. If at times you struggle to start conversations with new people like me, or big crowds get you a little anxious, like all that stuff happens with me. I've struggled through the years with it. I've tried to grow in it. I've been very intentional, but the only way to do it is I had to commit and say, enough's enough. God called me to do this, and if this is what I'm going to care for people, love people, grow the church, and advance the gospel, I got to grow in this spiritual discipline. Now, I'm a homebody, but you can't be checking in from time you get up to time you go to bed just watching Netflix all day. Killing Bloodlines, done. That's done. That documentary on OJ was killer. You've got to get out there. You've got to love people. You've got to fellowship. You've got to care for people. You've got to listen to people. So with that said, commit to taking time to talk to people before and after service. How many people look at that as a spiritual discipline each Sunday? Natalie, you do. She's trying to get points as the pastor's wife. But I've grown in that, just like singing, just like preaching, just like praying. How am I managing and scheduling my time so I'm here early to talk to people, see how they're doing in Christ and how their life's going, and how am I staying after to love people, to care for people? How am I doing that? To really see that as a spiritual act of discipline and worship, that the church grows and people are loved, is when you grow in that spiritual discipline. Secondly, the most terrifying of them all, who have you not met in this church? Who have you not talked to? I'll give you a little time to let that marinate. Who, and this is one of the most important things, one of the easy thing to do, and we should do this, there's people we relate to and love and we're comfortable talking to, we should do that. But what about the person who might be looking around for someone to talk to because they're new or just maybe not that good socially and you know they need someone to talk to? A spiritual discipline is to have eyes that observe and say, who feels left out? Who's over there? Oh, I talk to this person 3 times a week. I can catch up with them on Monday. Let me talk to someone else that needs the love of Christ. That's very important. You know, that's maturity. That's love. And when people feel loved and cared for, they stick. They stay. They become part of the family for the glory of God. And finally, what do you talk about? What do you talk about after a movie? The movie. What do you talk about after a Celts game? The Celts. What do you talk about after a family event? The family. Whether it's good or bad ways, you do it. What do we talk about after church? The gospel. The gospel. You have the most important thing in common. And make it personal when you're talking to someone. Maybe it's something simple like, that song moved me, or that preaching really hit me because this is where I am in my life. Or maybe the gospel hits you so deep that you're saying, man, God has forgiven me of soul life so much. I can't believe I'm at this point in my life where God continues to bless me when I've fallen short over and over and over again. And you revel in the grace of God and you're built up in holy fellowship that really restores your soul. Maybe you encourage some. Encouragement is a dying art, right? We want to go to the school of sarcasm, right? Well, you're just owning everyone around you. Look at this dude. What's he talking about? What are you wearing? We want to go to the school of sarcasm that keeps us distant, that keeps us strong, that keeps us independent, that keeps us not having to be vulnerable. But the gospel demands vulnerability. I am broken and I needed Jesus. I depend on him every day. His grace sustains me every day. I cry out to him every day that I need help. I need friendship. You know what? I'm lonely. Sometimes you just need to say that to someone. I'm lonely. There's a crowd of people around me, but I still feel lonely. Will you take some time? Can we have lunch? Can we share time together? Will you listen to me? I know I get irritating and I say the same thing over and over again, but you have a gospel ear that's going to listen to me. That changes people's life. You have not been changed by facilities, by events. You've been changed by relationships. I've been changed by relationships. It's the people who loved you in your life that really changed you. It's the people who took the time that really shaped you. It's the people who went the extra mile that you looked up to and they became your role model and you became like them. If you really want to become like Jesus, be around people who are becoming like Jesus and then you'll be a light in the darkness. Amen? So let's continue to grow in that grace as a church. Let's make ourselves vulnerable. Let's have the courage to get over the anxiety. Let's go through the stress when you drove home. Like, why did I say that? That was so stupid. Go through all those things. That's all part of building relationship. That's all part of growing as a family. That's all part of growing as a community. And we need to be committed to that. When we fellowship, the church grows numerically and people are saved. And we grow in generosity because we know each other and we care for one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. I pray that you would cause us through the power of your Holy Spirit to have courage to build relationships, to talk to people, to care for one another. In your grace, help us to love each other well, Lord, and make ourselves known and look to genuinely know other people. Help us to be like your son Jesus, who loved people perfectly and listened and cared and provided for our greatest need, which was atonement for our sin and forgiveness of our sins so that we could be in relationship with you and loved by you. We ask all these things in his name. Amen. This is a time where we both give and receive. So if you would turn with me to Luke 6:38. And we always just like to hear from the scriptures that it encourages, as it encourages our generosity towards one another. It says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over.